Okie dokie. Let's work backwards, shall we, Missile? 42-6. Matty Thompson with that last call for Channel 9. Now, Sam Stonestreet with a try on debut. I love the fact he's about to score. He points to his mates and family in the crowd.
They're going nuts.
Dives over and scores the try. It was, you know what I'm loving too, Missile? And this is the Michael. How they're all getting shirts and stuff made up these days.
So cool.
Isn't
it
cool?
Yeah, really cool. You should get some run home t-shirts, like those retro sort of, a shot of you when you were playing, a shot of Fletch when he was playing, a shot of tourist nude. Yeah. Just like a retro.
A shot of Dom sweating up in the middle.
Yeah, they'd go off, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, our listeners would pump through those. They'd love them.
Okay, now, a bit of merch.
On the Sharks versus Cowboys game, I don't know if you said this or not, but is that line through the Cowboys?
Okay, well, the way I'll answer it is, you win competitions on defence, right? So, typically, the strike rate of a top two defensive side winning the comp is through the roof. More often than not, the top two defensive sides, they're the ones who win the competition, okay. One of those teams.
Yep.
The last year, the Panthers, in the minor premiership part of the season, conceded 312, which is about what they've been doing the last few years.
Yep.
The Cowboys, after seven rounds, are already at 191. So they've already chewed up 191 of 312. So at this run rate, Missile, they're going to concede towards 700 points at the way they're going. So that sort of answers itself.
Is that the main problem, defence?
Yeah, massively. Massively.
Defence on the edges, defence through the middle, do we just put a big overarching defence?
Edges is a massive problem, their right edge in particular. So scoring points is not a problem. They've got 183, which I think you'll find is the most in the comp.
They've scored the most, let the most in.
Just about, yeah. Rabbitohs have let in a bit more than the Cowboys, and they've only played the six games, the Rabbitohs. So they've had a break now. It's going to be interesting to see how the Bunnies come. There is talk about Damien Cook coming back into the side as well. 18 points is their best defensive effort this season, round one versus the Dolphins, the Cowboys. So that is a real, real worry. Trindle played well. He's playing great, Braden Trindle. Ronaldo Militalo, he just scores at Shark Park. If it's Shark Park, he's scoring a try. Tom Dearden, the captain or co-captain of the Cowboys, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it's disappointing. It's probably, like, I think when the tries just keep coming, like, there's not much you really can say behind the line, because we're just talking about trying to get a reaction and trying to react, and I think that was what a lot of the talk was about. But, yeah, it was disappointing because we didn't get those reactions, and I don't think we played tough enough tonight.
Scathing. Didn't play tough enough. Well, I'd like to hear from Cowboys fans. Is there some players that we're missing in reserve grade? How do you fix this problem?
Well, that's the thing, right? And mainly it's attitude. And the problem and the reason this competition's so hard, 27 rounds, Missile. We're only seven rounds into it. It is a marathon, you know, and that's why what Penrith and, you know, the Melbourne Storm to a degree as well. Like the last 4 years, how they just keep turning up every single week.
It's insane.
It's insane. Whereas you're seeing other teams who clearly have the ability. Oh, by the way, I loved the Zach Lomax 2-point field goal. We've been calling for that, Missile.
So good.
We've been calling for it. Just you're up on the 20, lasso it back, have a shot. We'll start seeing a bit more of that too, by the way.
He was on the Mowers Club on Saturday.
Oh, was he?
He's our special guest, and he said he doesn't really practice them.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got the big levers, hasn't he? Ironwood, the leading supplier in recycled and reclaimed timber. You can win up to $1,000 to spend in store. Visit icanwin.com.au. So the Sharkies sitting pretty for the time being. Bulldogs 36, defeat the Knights 12. They're really starting to piece it together to the point where you're buying tickets for September, Missile.
Yeah, oh, look, I just think, Joel, we're moving in the right direction. I was there and the fans really appreciate the effort they're putting in. Reason being, sure, they're starting to score some points now and that's exciting and it's nice, but the defence has changed so much. And like you said, defence is attitude. It feels like this team is buying into what Serraldo is selling. They had such a small forward pack. They still kept the Knights to 12 points. Question for you. In my career, I've experienced when you've got an imbalance in your body somewhere, it often leads to another injury. E.g., I've got a sore back. I push through training. I end up with a bung shoulder because there's imbalances in the way I'm moving. I was watching Kalen Ponga from kickoff yesterday, and he didn't look comfortable. Now, we knew he had the hip injury going into it.
Yep.
I can't but help but think he's loading up, driving off one foot more than the other, which may have led to an injury. But from the moment they kicked off yesterday, I said to the guy sitting next to me, this is good for the Bulldogs because Kalen Ponga doesn't look well.
Yeah.
Why play him in round 7?
I know. Well, they'd be regretting that now. Absolutely regretting
the poor
that
poor Knights. Now they'll probably miss him for the whole, well, not the whole season, but let's say they miss him minimum 8 weeks. That's probably their season done.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly
so
right.
So poor Knights fans are sitting at home going, why would you risk our best player in round 7 against the Bulldogs?
Cogger played New South Wales Cup. Did we hear why he was a late change?
Just dropped from everything I was hearing.
Geez, they've been shuffling around those halves, haven't they? What do they do from here? That's the big thing. Now, the big story out of the game, Jack Hetherington, who I don't think Reid Marnie's got a mirror at home. Like, did he know what he was looking at? Gee
whiz. He's got some cojones on him. Not just around that scenario. When you watch Reid Marnie shoot out of the line and try and put shots on massive front rowers, you just go, this guy is a terrier.
Yeah.
He's a terrier.
That's a great way to
they
explain
do that.
Him.
They do that x-ray, and he's got that dog inside him. This one, I was struggling to interpret because Hetherington had a big smile on his face as he's approaching him in the tunnel. So I thought it was a joke. I don't know if those two know each other, if they have history, but he's been charged and it looks like he's going to miss a week. So do you assume that it was serious?
Well, you know what? I thought the referee handled it well because I was thinking exactly what he did was he gave them space apart.
He did, yeah.
It was starting to boil over the match. He didn't want another Battle of Brookvale situation. And I half had a feeling that Jack Hetherington might have done this. And
really?
But the night, it's got to be on the night. So the night.
Yeah, why didn't they have him in the room?
Why don't they have him in the sheds? Exactly right.
And it was Bulldogs officials that stepped in and separated as well. Where were the Knights officials?
Correct. So anyway, the fallout for that, the NRL's match review committee has offered Knights forward Jack Hetherington a one-match ban.
Is that strange wording? They've offered him?
Yeah, offered him. Would you like a one-match ban? Oh, yes,
no,
please.
Thanks, I'll play.
In the post-match altercation with the Bulldogs hooker Reid Marnie, and the Bulldogs have asked the NRL for a please explain as to why Reid Marnie was charged after the tunnel altercation. The NRL hit Marnie with a grade 1 contrary conduct charge and comes with a $1,000 fine with an early plea. So,
do you agree? Why was he charged? He's just walking up the tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I think.
Do you think he could see
him? I think the bin would suffice.
He was, I'm not sure if he was looking at his headgear or his mouth. He was looking down and he looked up and did a quick shift. Like, not to say he was scared or anything, but it was pretty confronting. Like, he shifted pretty quickly when he looked up.
Oh, yeah.
It came out of nowhere. It was quite funny footage.
I think it's fair what the Bulldogs are asking. I think it's fair that Jack cops a week. He's a really good player, Jack Hetherington. But
seems like a good guy as well. When you see him off field interviewed, seems like a lovely guy. I spoke to some people in and around the club at the Bulldogs, and they said great guy, great team man, great intentions.
Yep.
But white line fever like they've never seen.
And you apparently you don't want to fight him. He is a thrashing machine. That is the male. Broncos 34 defeat the Raiders 10. Wowee. Reece Walsh superb. Ezra Mann was in everything. It was just a huge first half from the Broncos. Tough night for Chevy Stewart, National Lampoon Vacation. but this is the big one. This is Red Penville.
Yep.
Jamal Fogarty.
Yep.
A bicep tear, so looking at 12 weeks off. And I just don't know how they cover
him. What are their options?
Well, I don't know.
KO Weeks to...
KO Weeks would be the option. But what I actually spoke to Gibbo this morning. I said, oh, mate, I've got a feeling that I don't think anyone kicks the ball more than Fogarty. And so he had to look it up for me. He's got the most kick meters, which says it's not just about how hard or how far you're kicking the ball. That story also tells to how often.
Yeah.
So he is pretty much the only kicker there at Canberra. All the kicks are coming through his boot. So, look, I don't know.
You can barely remember Strange kicking the ball.
That's right.
They haven't got a halfback that kicks. They haven't got a hooker that kicks.
That's it. So what do they do? That's
far out. Yeah. They need to send out an SOS. Jack Cogger.
Well, somebody suggested Sean O'Sullivan for a loan, given the fact that he's just parked behind Katoa. Katoa looks pretty settled now.
You know what they've got, which is great in this current market, this current economy? They've got a hell of a lot of middles. You trade a Trey Mooney for a Sean O'Sullivan mid-season.
But even Dolphins just say, yes, please. Even just a loan.
So can you do a loan without a swap?
I think you can do a loan.
I thought the West Tigers one was a swap with Momorowski and Harry Grant. don't know if there's just been a direct loan.
Nofaluma?
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, Nofaluma was...
Was that just a direct loan?
Direct loan, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Oh, well, they... Yeah. It'd be sad not to see that because the Raiders are screwed without Fogarty.
Well, it's actually better for the game, right? So,
yeah.
And another example is... So the Raiders have been very, very keen on Ricky Stewart on Ethan Sanders, who's at Parramatta. Hasn't been given a start yet. So
have they signed him or they've...
They must be very close.
There's so much talk about that, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of talk. So the natural thing would be, okay, well, you guys have not had Mitchell Moses and you still haven't played him.
Yeah.
So can we have him?
You know? Yeah, something.
I'm a fan of, just for the betterment of the game...
Tane Tuipiki.
Who's that?
He's the fullback at the Warriors.
He's in the reserves.
He's a fullback.
They don't need a fullback, though. Yeah. They need a halfback.
Mm, yeah, I guess.
They need a halfback. Mate, there's plenty there. There's plenty there running around at the moment.
There's probably six of them at Penrith lining up to play halfback.
Yeah, probably. Probably. So there you go. 1-3.
Young Schneider, how good's he been?
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know the story about how he got signed by
them? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They ran a bunch of defence at him one night and Cleary said, I like the cut of this bloke's jib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just
what a great
how it plays out. Kevvy Walters had this to say about their first half.
Yeah, it was a great first half. Really, that's our best half of footy this year. So, you know, we'll take that 40 and now we just got to work on some things in that second half. But, you know, I thought our fight was good and the effort was great. Just some execution and just not scoring tries. That's a frustrating thing for me sitting up and watching. But still, we take the wins at this time of the year. They're a good side. And I thought we did some really good things in that first half to set up the win.
Yep, very, very impressive first half, that's for sure.
And the Broncos switch on, they're airborne.
Oh.
Airborne. Reece Walsh. Stop the fight.
Mate, him and Mam.
Oh.
If you get a chance to watch the... and this is what I love about Ezra Mam, and I talk about how he anticipates.
Mm.
If you get a chance to watch the Billy Walters try...
I gave you a shout-out on breakfast the other week.
Oh, yeah.
You said that, and then they did that kick against, I think it was the Roosters, where it bounced back. Who's running through?
That's right.
Ezra Mam.
Well, like everyone says he always gets the bounce. No, he's always
like
there
prophet.
For the bounce.
Yeah.
But if you get to watch the head-on shot of the Billy Walters try,
yep.
You'll see Billy takes off, and straight away you'll see Ezra Mam react, but everyone else in the Broncos line's dead still. But he senses something's going to happen. Even though he gets nowhere near scoring the try, but that's how he thinks. Wonderful player. Ricky Stewart acknowledged that Chevy Stewart had a tough night at the office.
If Chevy Stewart wasn't a tough kid... He would have crumbled tonight, because a lot of kids at 18 years of age, you remember that. You know, I know at 18 years of age, I wasn't ready to play NRL. And at 18 years of age, him out there tonight, how he handled that second half was he showed me that he's got a future in the NRL.
Tell you what, he's good like that, Ricky. He backs his players, doesn't he?
Mm.
Backs them hard. So exactly right, though. He's only 18. He'll be right. Seagulls 34 fall in against the Titans. 11 tries and 7 lead changes. I went the early crow last week, missile, and declared Titans to get their first win.
Close.
Tommy Turbo, the difference in the end. He scores a double. Desi's now got 13 straight losses.
What now for the Titans? Gets harder from here for the Titans.
Yeah, they've just got to stay at it.
Do you think there's a crisis at the club, or do you just think they haven't quite bought into Desi yet? That they are improving, I believe.
Of course they are. You go down to Canberra, you're losing Golden Point.
But how long do you go without a win before you say this is crook?
You got to stay the course, unfortunately. They've nearly knocked off a very good Manly side. You've just got to isolate the last 2 weeks and go, boys, forget about the 0-7.
Yeah.
We nearly got we were a kick away from beating... Well, there should have been a penalty kick to win the game against Canberra.
Yep.
They were an intercept really away from winning this game here. So, look, Brimson's flying. He's absolutely flying. He's doing some wonderful things. They're not too far away. I wouldn't want to be playing him in the next month because there's a win coming. Panthers 22 defeat the West Tigers 6. James Fisher-Harris, he'd been the topic throughout the week. Of course, he's off to the Warriors next year. He scores the last try, had a big game. Dylan Edwards did his usual 207 metres, 7 tackle bus, but he limped off just before full time. Brad Snyder was lucky not to get sin bin, wasn't he?
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
Yep.
What could be the possible reason for not sin binning him there? If you call the penalty and say he did do it, then it's a no-brainer. It's a sin bin.
Yep, exactly.
That was coming up to a 2-on-1, 30 metres out from the line.
Well, Olam would have scored.
That was insane.
Olam would have scored.
I feel for Tigers fans on that one, because that was just it's one of those calls that the lower clubs don't get. I'm telling you, I'm not saying that the refs are biased. It's an unconscious thing.
No, but they have to get that one right.
Oh,
Graham Annesley will probably report that.
Changed
today.
The whole game.
Yeah, it does. It does. Dolphins 44. We spoke about this over the Eels 16. We couldn't believe 10-4 after 49 minutes. They're trailing the Dolphins. They're trailing 10-4, and then they win 44-16. Remarkable. Just absolutely remable. Max Plath. Doesn't he look good?
Good player.
Good player.
Tough player.
Good player. And young Trey Fuller as well. He had a big game. Looked like a mini hammer, really, didn't he? But here's Christian Wolfe, who was the substitute teacher in many ways and got the job done.
He's a great story. You know, he's from Eiswold, a small town, and moved to Rockhampton for opportunities in the Queensland Cup and then moved to Redcliffe from there. And he's been a great player in the Queensland Cup for a long time. And he's one of those guys that I think everyone admires, because you go and watch him play Queensland Cup and he's brave, he's courageous, he competes, and he's obviously got that bit of excitement about his speed and his try-scoring ability, and he's a bit like a like a pinball machine. He bounces off blokes and hard to tackle, but to see him be able to go out there and do it at the same time.
They're off a cliff without Moses, aren't they, Parramatta?
Oh, big time. Can I just play devil's advocate with Christian Wolfe and Wayne Bennett? So, apparently Souths are looking at Bennett. Eels are looking at Bennett. He's going to be very sought after this year. If he's still a first grade caliber coach and clubs as big as Souths and Eels are chasing him, I would be so tempted as the Dolphins to say, Christian, it is yours, but a couple more years with Wayne, because clubs literally fall apart when Wayne Bennett leaves them. And this is a club only 2 years into its NRL life.
Yeah, that's right.
I would be terrified of what happens when Wayne Bennett leaves that club.
Yep.
Would you say to him, just two more, Wayne? You clearly still want to coach. Clubs are linked to you. You're going to play them off against each other. You know what? You want to stay in Brisbane near your family. Give us two more, Christian. It's there. You take on more responsibilities midweek. We bump up your pay.
Yep.
Whatever we need to do to keep this momentum that we've got from our first two seasons going, so this club gets some longer term success. Because if the same thing that happens at the Dolphins happens, the same thing that happens at every other club happens at the Dolphins, and they're only 2 years in, you won't be able to buy a player. No one will go to a newish franchise without a Wayne Bennett and with no success once they're struggling.
And to get that over the line, the way you could do that is you'd chat to Wayne first, and you'd say, Wayne, what do you think about, let's make Christian Wolfe the co-coach with you now.
Yeah.
So then start getting, which the upside for Wayne would be, then you start sending him into the press conferences, because Wayne doesn't like doing that stuff anyway.
Yeah.
And that's how he starts to get his profile up, starts to get front of mind. And then you could say, Wayne, if we brought forward him to be the co-coach now, would you agree to go another year with him?
And then
send them both out now. I think that's how you get it over the line.
I just think they've got it. They've got to keep him there.
Yeah.
They've got to.
That's the only way I think you can do it. Is to say, can we promote him to be the co-coach now? And we'll start rolling him out in the press conferences.
How would you be as Christian Wolfe? So you're watching the Rabbitohs and last season, everyone's saying, Demetrio is the first guy to come in after Wayne and have success.
Yep.
Now look where we are.
But it also helps with signings too. Like if you've got your own signing and that Wayne's there for another 2 years, for example. Would Christian Wolfe be happy to do that? Would Wayne Bennett be happy to do it? I'm not quite sure, but I think Dolphins fans rather, would absolutely love that. 1300 01 1170 is the way to have your say. And the Dragons, geez, they're good at Wynn Stadium, aren't they? 32 defeat the Warriors 12, and yet again, Tyrell Sloan scores at Wynn Stadium. He loves playing there. Zach Lomax, huge. Game 100 for him. Celebrates in style. And Benny Hunt, a try and three try assists. So he had a massive game. Ben Hunt, a very, very lackluster performance for the Warriors. So they've got to bounce back in a major way. They do host the Anzac game, though, which would be a massive day, which so they should. There has to be a game every year in New Zealand. It is
Anzac. Australia and New Zealand, yeah.
Finally, we've got a game there. That has to happen.
Yeah.